Hey, welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. I'm Paul Rosenwinkel.
I'm Chris Tripolino.
I'm Melissa Locke.
And I'm Greg Meyer.
Recently, we've been talking about baggage, failure, hurt, ruts, regret. Why do we even deal with this stuff? Why hit these big unsolvable topics?
It's true, you know, we aren't the experts. I don't know what we think we can accomplish in 1 hour, but there's some pretty important reasons why we do go there and why we take these conversations on. And I would have to say that this podcast, in a lot of ways, isn't so much directed to our Jacob's Well community, although I think you guys are going to enjoy this as well and get some insights into our vision from it. But it's really to other community, other church leaders who are, you know, face it, your communities too are filled with people that have real lives, and that means they've got hurts that they're dealing with. And the question is, do you want them to bring that to the community, have that be part of who they are when they come, or do you want to have the nice, clean, tidy, we all have smiles on our faces and nice outfits on? I think we want to deal with the real thing, and we need to help our people deal with the real thing.
Yeah, I know we're not the experts, and I know we can't solve these things, but I just think it would be horrible if we never talked about this stuff. I mean, really, God doesn't care about our real hurts, and God has nothing to say about this?
Right. And we aren't crazy. Called as a community to figure this out together.
We can do this.
Right. You know, the other fear would be that we talk about these things, but we do it in such formulaic religious language that's, you know, sugarcoats all things and it actually almost adds layers of hiding and burying these things rather than really opens up the wounds. And while we know we can't solve it, there are some things that we can do. One of them is, for instance, normalizing language.
These are
real issues, and when we talk about these in real ways as an open conversation with everybody being a part of that, it changes things at home. I mean, people go at home, they go out with their friends, and they suddenly have language to talk about it. They know the cat is already out of the bag. Yeah. This is now something to actually be talked about.
Yeah. And we normalize the language, but we also normalize the conversations, and we kind of create a network of support with all of this where people are actually practicing these conversations week in and week out. We do that with our group life kind of infrastructure. And
yeah, I don't think we could have these conversations without that infrastructure, because it feel like hanging people out to dry a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to dig up all of this stuff that you're carrying around, your pain around addiction or relationships or whatever your pain is about. It would be kind of rude of us to bring all of that stuff up and then not provide a support system.
Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Yeah, thanks be to God.
And the reality is not every group is full of your ultimate confidants and your best friends, but it's a very powerful place to practice having these kinds of conversations and learning together and being supported and supporting other people that drips out and flows out into the rest of our lives.
So exactly. So, you know, why do we have these kinds of conversations? One is we have the ability to let people know that they're not alone. So we created a word cloud using an app called Menti. Yeah. So it was anonymous, but you saw everyone's input. Mm-hmm. And we had 300-some responses to this word cloud, and people are seeing, wow, other people have the same ruts that I've got.
So there was anxiety, lack of confidence, fear, sugar. What were some of the
alcohol,
other ones?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Yeah. Abuse. Anger. Yeah.
Yeah, just to give you a taste.
So you know you're not alone, and then I have people that I can talk to about this. I've got group life. As you were saying, Melissa, we don't assume that the only place you're going to do this is group life, but we at least know there is a place to go with this for it.
Yeah.
And it's a part of, you know, practice when it's easy, so you have the skills you need when it's not. So people are thinking about things, getting some language, getting some ways to understand it from a three-stranded way, meaning, you know, bigger than themselves, including God, and assuming that others are going to be part of my journey on this, that they can take into their with their family and to the rest of the world, to work, to their other friendships as well as to group life.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I found really valuable about the Jacob's Well community is this idea of the three strands of yourself, your people and the whole world, and God, and the opportunity to weave those three things together. And I think that's something that the Jacob's Well community does really well, is working on weaving those things together and tying knots. And I think that should be the goal of every church or every community organization, to be weaving those three things together.
Another reason we can talk about these things is we don't have this need to think we're going to solve them.
Yeah.
There's no idea that we're supposed to create a bunch of perfect people or even better people. We're highly suspicious of better. of course, we all want to be better, but it seems to motivate us in some negative directions. But growth can happen, and we can both give people insights and support and accountability and, you know, just join conversations so that growth can happen. We believe that we are a place that can do that. And so, yeah, do people need to see experts on some of these things? Do they need to spend more time, read books, go to groups?
Get professional assistance.
Yeah. They can do those things. But what we can do is start the growth happening. And guess what? We're going to be there next week, too. Mm-hmm. And the week after.
Yeah,
and the
week after. Yeah, because that's like the weaving that Paul's talking about. We do it week after week. And that's, I think, where a lot of the, that's where all the power is and the strength.
Well, this is stuff that we all need. And so if you are a part of a community, if you're a leader in a community that is considering changing things up a little bit, reimagining how it is that you broach some of these hard conversations, we are excited to learn about other communities who are really trying to do that hard work. And for what it's worth, we would love to hear from you and to get your feedback and your questions and to kind of wade in with you into all of that to help you in whatever ways that we can.
So I would say if you are that church leader someplace, and if there's already sort of a social contract there that we don't talk about this stuff,
yeah,
find ways where you can start broaching the topic. It might need to be easy.
Have you gotten pushback on this? When you've brought it up over the years?
You know, really. That's interesting because you would think, well, with those social contracts, people would say, let's not go there. Yeah, but actually, I think the deeper we go into these places, these scariest corners of people's lives, but we do it in a way that is supportive and opening and isn't shaming.
Builds trust.
It doesn't assume you're going to just fix it all or something like that, and builds trust. We actually get enormous amounts of positive feedback. The deeper we go, the harder we hit it, but the most hopeful and full of possibility, the more positive feedback we get. People commit to their community because of it.
Yeah.
So try it. Find ways to make those conversations happen within your community. And don't ask, like, do we dare do this? Ask, how can we make it happen?